Hello.
Hello.
Hi, there's people.
Hi.
Hi, Donna.
Hi.
I'm glad you're here.
Likewise.
That's great. And Teresa, you're here, but I can't see you. So are you just on a phone? Maybe she's just waiting. Okay. So you have the day off, Donna?
I do.
Okay, good. I'm really pleased to do this. We have about, I don't know, 9 or 10, I think about 8 or 9 people coming in today. So I'm a couple minutes early. Yeah. So did you get all my information? Do you have any questions off the bat while we're waiting for everyone? I'm going to introduce you. So greetings. And I have been running Yoga Motion Academy now for about 35 years in different ways of connecting with other people and connecting people together for the purpose of really evolving our health and well-being from the inside out. And this course that is integrating the three prongs that I'm going to talk about today, which is yoga, Ayurveda, and then habit evolution, is my latest baby. And the reason I developed it is I wanted something that was more involved than just coming to a class or a workshop, but really helps to integrate these practices and these lifestyle principles into our everyday life. And for giving people that are a little more interested in knowing the bigger picture of what all these things are and how they can affect our level of what I call vibrant, easeful living. And soulful too. I like that idea, soulful, because it really means awakening our own creativity and how we go through our life and have a sense of purpose and meaning. So today what I'd like to do is introduce these three prongs that are part of this upcoming course. But at the same time, I want to interact with you, get your questions answered. And by the end of the call, what I would like is for you to, even if you're listening to the recording, but you're here live, John and I are here. And by the end of the time, to actually have a clear idea of one action step that you can start implementing today that will get you either more fully on the path, or maybe it's something new, or maybe it's re-upping your commitment to something that you've been wanting to make more, create more consistency within your life. But one small action step towards what I term a vibrant, easeful life. And then, of course, I'll tell you a little bit more about what's upcoming in this course that I'm offering, if that's something that would really serve you and why it would. So that's my overview of what's to come and my intention for this call. And what I'd like to know is what's really important is for each person that's listening to get really clear on what your own interest is, what you're curious about, what your desire is. So we're actually going to do a little meditation. So once you get comfortable and just lean back if you've got a chair behind you and close your eyes and just start to settle. Feel your physical body first. Just drop into the physical body, which means feeling your feet on the floor and feeling where you're supported in your hips and your spine. And as you let yourself be more and more supported, how can you allow your body to just sink in and feel like it's being held? So you can let go of any unnecessary tension. And you're taking the time to listen and observe. So let yourself release any unnecessary distractions. So the first is getting your body comfortable so it's no longer distracting. And from that place of allowing the body to be supported and relaxed, then we bring our attention to the breath. And you may just want to bring your attention to the tip of your nose and feel the breath coming in and out through the tip of the nose, that physical sensation of breath. And if you're just joining the call, we're just taking some time to clarify our intention by settling into the present. So just settle into your body, close your eyes, join us. Start to feel the breath coming in and out through your nose. And then draw your attention to the breath as you follow it down from your nostrils into your windpipe. And as you feel the sensation of the breath in your windpipe, let your ears soften and listen to the sound of your breath. Notice any other sounds in your environment. And you can let those sounds become more of a background as your breath becomes the foreground. And then follow that next breath, listening and feeling the breath into your lungs. And just feel the expansion that comes with your inhalation. Settling into your body on the exhalation. Notice how the breath itself begins to bring the mind into the present moment. So simply reflect on your quality of mind in this time, at this time. And if you've just stepped in, just start to allow the thoughts in the mind to move again, just like the sounds in your environment, let the thoughts move to the background. Begin to open yourself up to receive. We'll have a wonderful exchange of new information. And in order to really learn and grow, we need to be open and receptive. So what does that feel like in its suggestion? To open to new ideas, and to let go of distracting thoughts. So again, we're feeling into our physical body. We're letting our breath flow deeply and evenly now, getting a sense of a more relaxed state and a more focused mind. And it's from this place that I'd like you to awaken what we call in yoga our higher mind, our buddhi mind, which is our place of discernment, and really access your own personal curiosity, desire, interest in why you are listening to this presentation today. What is your why? Instead of being in your head, if you feel your energy move up to your head, can you take a breath back into your heart space? Breathe into the center of your chest and open up that heart space of desire. And what is it that brings you to this presentation today? What are you wanting to receive? And take a few breaths here because there might be a lot of different information arising or maybe one single word. So breathe into that for another few moments to get a little bit clearer, more concise in what really brings you here today. And from that place of intention, your why of being here, can you just remain open to seeing what unfolds in our time together? Again, open to receive. And then take three more deep breaths into your personal intention, into your why. And then let's just blink open the eyes and come together. So we have someone else that joined us. So who is here at 594? Phone call. Phone call. Who is that?
Can you hear me?
I can hear you.
Can you hear me?
I can hear you. Who is this?
Can you hear me?
Yes, can you hear me?
Oh, there you are. Yes, yeah. Sorry, I have you on the computer, but I wasn't able to figure out how to get the sound, so I have listening on the phone and watching on the computer.
Oh, interesting. You know, the best thing is to actually download the Zoom app, and then you can get on the, we would be able to see you visually. So Bob,
yeah, I am on the Zoom. I'm on the Zoom meeting ID, and I see you, and I see Donna.
Oh.
And I see my phone, but I don't see me. I don't think I have a camera on my computer.
Okay, who is this?
This is Teresa Green, sorry.
Hi, Teresa. Okay, great. Great. We have a long list of people that are wanting to be on the call but haven't made it. And Teresa, your number, okay, great. That makes sense because I have your name over here too. So thank you for stepping in. And now what I would like to know after that little meditation, little few moments of dropping in, is I would like each of you to share, just take a minute or so and tell me what brings you here today. So why don't we have, Teresa, why don't you share with us what brings you here today? Tell me your curiosity or your why.
Well, I am looking for personal guidance and growth with my yoga and my meditation practice and direction. So I have taught yoga for over 10 years and done some different teaching pieces, teacher training. But I find right now my daily practice has really gone poorly. And I just thought, what's going on? I'm not focusing. And so I thought, well, I'm going to see how this fits in.
Great. Oh, that's so awesome. I love that. Because you know what? It's so wonderful to hear, because don't people think that all yoga teachers like have this perfect practice?
Right.
It's not true, because we're human too. So we'll talk about that today. That's wonderful. Okay. Thank you for sharing that. And you live here in Bozeman, Teresa? Where do you live? Teresa? Lost her again.
All right. I'm back. Sorry.
Where do you
Are
live?
Are you there? In Helena.
Helena. Okay, great.
Yeah.
Perfect. All right. How did you find me? How did you find this program?
I'm trying to think if someone maybe referred me to you, and I actually had sent you some information just thinking about your teacher training, because I thought maybe I just need to get a focus and go through a teacher training, because I've never done like one where you actually get credit and all that kind of thing. And so I just feeling like I need that input for myself.
Yeah. And the tribe's great, but we'll talk about that.
Okay.
Okay. Thank you, Teresa. I'm so glad you're here. And this is Donna up here. So let's hear your intention today, Donna. What came up for you?
The word that comes up is focus. And it comes up over and over during the meditation. I have difficulty with focus, and specifically endurance with focus. I can focus for short periods of time. I'm easily distracted, and I'm kind of trained that way.
To
kind of skim the surface to get things done, but really not have a whole lot of depth in what in my actions. And the secondary word that comes up is patience, working on patience, my own personal patience. Yeah.
Okay, patience with yourself.
Patience in general. Maybe patience with my husband, patience with relationships in general.
We had some good juicy talks about that and have in our 10th, or actually did a bonus call with my last group, and that's really what came up. Like, okay, I'm doing all this for me. Now, how do I deal with all these people in my life? So, yeah, that's a good question. Let's deal with that. So what I'm going to do now is I'm actually going to go to what's called, Teresa, can you see me? You can see me, right?
I can see.
Okay, great. Because I'm going to do what's called a screen share, and I'm going to have a visual aid for you. Okay. So I'm going to pop on over here. I've learned a lot of new technology in this whole program. It's been fun. Let's put that away. Okay. Oh, I'm going to sit back here. All right. So I want, not me. Are you seeing my screen? Hello?
Hello? I see Zoom.
Oh, good. Okay. You're seeing my screen. Okay. How about this?
Mind.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
There we go. Booty Mind. Okay, so Booty Mind is is the aspect of mind, as I said in the meditation, that is our discriminative mind and what we call in yoga our higher mind, which is the aspect that can witness things and see things from a very objective place, like looking without judgment, comparison, and really being able to make wise choices. It's also known as our wisdom mind. And there's these different layers of ourself. And so some of this might be repeating for you. I know you know some, you've got yoga practices, but you know, I never get tired of revisiting these philosophies because it's just amazing how the more systems I learn from these teachings of yoga and Ayurveda, the more we see how they all interweave and they support each other, which I just absolutely love in this lifestyle. And so what we're really familiar with in yoga, so I'm going to talk about yoga first, and then I'm going to go a little bit into Ayurveda, and then I'm going to go into habit evolution, and I'm just going to give you a little glimpse of these and how I address these and what my intention is behind them, and then come back around and see, like, where is it you want to focus? Like, what's going to help you, like, Teresa, like, regain that practice? And Donna, you too, for, like, okay, focus, I'm hearing, as your intention. So what can we, how do these philosophies and these practices support you in evolving those things that you want to evolve in your own lifestyle? So the way I approach the practice of yoga is through the different layers of our being. So what we're really comfortable with, and as you know in the West, the Hatha yoga practice right here in the center, I had fun creating this visual aid because it finally helps, I think, make sense of how we see yoga in the West and what yoga truly is in its bigger formula. And this has to do with the eight limbs of yoga, which is a more classical address to yoga. And someone else is joining us. Okay, coming on in. Who's here? I don't know. Okay, we'll just go with that. So I'm going to keep going. So Hatha yoga, which both of you are practicing some, is that physical aspect. So it's taking care of our physical body, and that's our first layer of being. Are either of you familiar with the koshas, the layers of being?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
So the layers of our being, we start with the physical body, and that's our asana. We work with moving our body in different ways so that it's strong and flexible and has good stamina and is able to relax, right? So this is what asana brings to us, as well as our breath work. So we work with the breath for the same reason, to expand our life force, prana, and also to monitor, to balance our energy. So we bring our energy up when we're feeling dull, and we calm our energy down if we're feeling frenetic and scattered. And the breath is just such an amazing tool for shifting where we are if we need to change our energy to better serve us. And then the third prong of Hatha yoga is what we call pratyahara, which is sense withdrawal. So this might be a part, like for you, Donna, that idea of focusing. Pratyahara is the first step in training our mind, because it does take training, like training a muscle. We have to train the muscle of the mind to be present and to be focused. And so the first step is to start to let go of distraction. And the distractions are caused by our senses, our five senses, because that's how we take in the world. What we see, what we hear, what we smell, what we taste, and what we feel. And so Hatha yoga, as we know, when we're doing asana practice or breathing practices, is we're also practicing letting go of disturbances of the mind by being drawn by the magpies outside or a phone call or I'm too hot, I'm too cold, or, you know, just the comparative mind that comes up. So This aspect is so wonderful for taking care of our physical body and balancing our energy. And so I like to address this on a day-to-day basis, and a little bit goes a long way, which is what we'll see in our habit evolution, in that is that, wait, I want to do this. There we go. Is how can we get a practice in each day so there's more consistency as opposed to trying to do more of something once in a while. So quality over quantity. The other aspect that we really that I like to interject is that yoga is not just a pose, it's about the person and it's how we live our life. So for me, the yoga lifestyle is really recognizing these moral and ethical and societal guidelines of a practicing yogi. And this is where our humanness shines forth, is practicing the yamas and niyamas, which are abstinences and observances. And I expect that you're both familiar with these. Are you familiar with these, Donna?
Little bit.
A little bit, okay. And so I just did a webinar. I did a video on this. And if you didn't, did any of you see that video I put out last week on this talk?
No.
Okay, so I'm going to send that to you. I'll send you a link. And I do about a half an hour talk on these eight limbs. And right now I'm just going to go over them briefly. But these are really how we treat ourselves and how we treat each other. And so that first one is nonviolence, which is kindness. So like what you said, patience is actually a form of kindness, right, to ourselves mm-hmm. and others. And mm-hmm. so the teaching of yoga gives us these different attitudes of how we move through our day. And so the yamas are really about how we are in the world, and then the observances are more how we are when no one's looking, taking care mm-hmm. of our cleanliness, being content. Purity is really like cleaning up what no longer serves us. And self-study, which is what you're doing right now. So expanding your knowledge so you can make wise choices about what works and really clarifying your own belief in this life. And then surrender is surrendering to the process of life, realizing that we're not really in control, but we're surrendering to something bigger than ourselves. And so those are the roots of yoga. And a lot of times these get slowly interjected into a class. And it's really nice when we can have some conversation around them because they're really so important in the quality of our lives. So we could do a lot of stretching of our hamstrings, but if we're not integrating these ethical guidelines, then we might be missing the point. And then what comes up above this lifestyle and hatha yoga is what I call the booty mind area. And this is really where we start to expand our wisdom. And from that place, it's again coming back to mind and concentrating, being able to focus the mind in one direction so that we're not disturbed by our sensory distractions or our emotions. Senses and emotions go together. Okay. Mm-hmm. And mm-hmm. then we can start to calm down. And the calming down is a way of allowing our body to move into a relaxation response and to open up to something in that, like I said, that wisdom mind. So Dharana, Dhyana, that concentration, meditation leads us to a place of what we call in yoga bliss or samadhi, which is a liberation from suffering. So even as we talked in the very beginning, like how do we work with all these relationships in our life? There's one thing to work with our relationship with ourselves, and then we work in relationship with others, which is really kind of what we call in yoga our karma in life. Relationship is where we learn all of our lessons. And so this opportunity to begin to work with mind and be more present with ourselves and really keenly observe what our habits are, what our choices are, and then we have the opportunity to shift our path and make new choices. So to me, this is the overview of yoga. Do either of you have a question about any of that?
No.
Okay. And then I'm going to go to the next. So what I like to work with in all the practices that I do and all the courses I do is entering into conversation and contemplation with all of these areas of yoga. Secondly, is we have the sister science of yoga, which is called Ayurveda. So Ayurveda has been around forever as well, and I love your experience with that over in India. It's just a way of life. This is really the healthcare foundation in the East, and it's looking at each person's constitution because we're all different. We're similar, but we're different in our physical form, in our energetic body, in our mental capacity. There is a variety in how we operate. So this is just one aspect of Ayurveda, but the aspect that I've been working with over the last, I've been interjecting Ayurveda into my life for several years. And it's just been in the last year and a half that I have a coach now that's an Ayurveda practitioner that I've been training with and getting more and more clear on how we can integrate Ayurveda more. And the overall teaching of Ayurveda, which means knowledge of life, is really about our energy body and aligning with nature. And in our society these days, we've really gotten away from the rhythm of nature because we have all this technology. We can operate 24/7. It doesn't matter what time of the year it is. We can do the same things year in and year out. Now in Montana, I think that's why I like living here, because we do have four seasons and it does shift our life. Sometimes we fight it though. I can't tell you how many people, and I'm sure you've heard this, people complain about the snow, and we live in Montana. And so that, you know, it's like, and I know I did it for a while too. Like, oh, it's so cold here. Well, look where we are. And just those little things are the little distractions that actually create long-term suffering. You know, if we're complaining and we're not happy with what the weather is, that is one area of our life that we can learn to clean up, because we're not going to control that. Can we embrace where we are? Can we actually look at the reality of what nature is offering us? So that's just one example of how we could move from suffering to liberation from suffering. And so the Ayurvedic clock is something I work with a lot, because it starts to make sense. So we work with the clock of the 24-hour cycle. We also look at the seasons of the year and how am I approaching each day according to, is it summer, fall, winter, spring? And what energy is happening? And how am I going to shift my actions so that I'm more in line with the season? And then also the seasons of our life. And that's another place in our society where we're 60, but we wish we were 20. And personally, I don't wish that on myself, because I really like being, well, I'm only 59. My sister say I can't say I'm 60 yet. But I'm starting to embrace it. And it's like, the idea of aging is aging with wisdom and grace. And yet our society is so caught up in remaining in this youthful place. We can be youthful in our heart and our mind, and yet there's really a gift in being able to be on this earth longer, because we understand things more. We are more patient with ourselves. We are more understanding of others. You know, so with age comes wisdom, hopefully, as long as we're not grasping on to wanting to do practices in yoga that we could do when we were 20. I mean, I did all kinds of radical things at that age. A lot of them caused injury too. And now I'm wiser. I'm older and wiser. And I don't have to do all those crazy things with my body that doesn't serve it. And it's also, there's things that just, I've been there, done that. And can we let go of one thing to open up to something new? So Ayurveda is really about honoring the cycles of our life. What decade am I living in? And can I embrace that decade? And to me, that really brings a lot of ease. That's where easeful living comes. So understanding the day, understanding the season, and understanding where we are in our lifespan. And so what I work with a lot in Ayurveda is looking at this 24-hour cycle and the times, and also the constitutions within what we call the doshas. So are either of you familiar with doshas of Ayurveda? Pitta, Vata, Kapha, have you heard these?
Heard them, but I don't know what they mean.
Okay, great. Teresa, how about you?
Yes, I am familiar with them.
Okay, great. So I'll just give a brief overview. And so you have an idea of how this works. And maybe, like for Teresa, what I always think when someone's familiar, and I know for myself this is how I work, is how are we addressing it today? How do I define it compared to how you would define it? So let this be a little comparative study for you. And how we simplify possibly this quite extensive body of knowledge. So the idea is that we are not only five layers. I talked about our physical body, our energy body, our emotional body, our intellect, that's that wisdom body, and then the aspect of self that lives naturally in a place of ease, which is called our bliss body. Those are the five koshas. Those are the layers of our being. So when I address the practice of yoga, I want to address all five layers. So whoever I work with, we want to look at all those parts of ourselves because we need to balance all of those in order to really live a vibrant life. Also within each of us and within the entire universe are five elements. And so the idea is that everything contains the elements of earth, water, fire, air, and space, or sometimes called ether. And those elements come together in different ways, and that's what creates matter. And so we, in the Ayurvedic teachings, we look at these three different constitutions. There's several different systems, but I'm just going to stick with this one today, that make up our individual essence. And so I'll go through those. So these three, which are called Pitta, Vata, Kapha, the first one being Kapha is the combination of water and earth. So I just want you to think of that, like water and earth. What does earth feel like? What kind of sensations come out when you just think of earth, right? So earth, grounding, heavy, solid, gravity, earth. And then water, which is fluid, but it's also heavy. Think about cooking up a pail full of water. Heavy, water also is heavy, and it seeks its own depth. So when you put water anywhere, it's going to keep spreading until it finds that earth, right? And settles in like a lake. And so earth and water create this heaviness, and it's really this grounding energy. And so that's the essence of what we call Kapha. The second one, which is Pitta, which means fire or Agni, it's all about fire itself and water. So fire and water, so we put those together, that makes steam, right? But fire is very uplifting. It's like up energy. You light a fire, everything goes up, and it expands, and it also burns, and it transforms. So fire is a big change. There's lots of change with fire, lots of heat, lots of energy, lots of light, and then that energy of water is moving. So fire and water. So Pitta is the energy of movement and heat and transformation and action. Okay. And then the third is called Vata, and Vata is air and space. So air, think about how that feels. It's light, and air is always moving as well. And space, especially air in space, right? So big, it's outward energy, it's expansive, it's light, it can be kind of spacey, okay? So if you have a Vata constitution, you might feel like you can't get grounded. It's also creative because when we have space, we have time for bigger thoughts. That's where visions come in and imagination. And so we'll look at these. So that's Vata is air and space. And actually Vata feeds the other two as well because fire needs air and there's just that movement. So we look at one, our personal constitutions, how we operate. So if you're more Kapha, you're going to be more solid and grounded. Maybe if you're out of balance, you might have trouble getting off the couch or motivating yourself. But if you're in balance, you're like the awesome hugger and you're so steadfast that people really count on you. That's the benefit of Kapha. If you're more of a Pitta type person, you're fiery and active and you have a lot of thoughts going on and you make things happen. And you also might make so much happen that you burn yourself out. So that's the imbalance of Pitta is burning out. And then we have, but the balance of Pitta is like, it's really direct and focused and you can get things done. And then the Vata time or the Vata constitution is that air and space. So this is more in balance. It's creative and expansive and light and really like just kind of like going with the flow kind of thing. When it's out of balance, it could be going with the flow too much and you're spacey and forgetful and feeling like you can't get focused. So all of us have all of these within us. We all experience these different constitutions. And in our lifetime, we tend to move towards Vata, okay, because eventually we will leave our bodies and we're going to become air and space. So there is that tendency in the lifespan to go in that direction. But what we do is we look at what's our basic constitution, what we came into this life with, and then there's a constitution that's affected by our life choices and our environment. Does that make sense?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. So what we want to look at is what I work with is the time of day. So you don't actually have to, like, what am I? My pitta, vata, kapha. You can feel it day by day, what's actually being, how you're being affected. And then we look at our daytime clock. And this is how we begin to organize our time. So Teresa, like, wanting to get that yoga practice in, wanting to make time for oneself. I even have people join my teacher training. And the biggest thing is they join this huge, you know, amount of self-study, and then they don't have time for it. And so that's why I really want to teach this ahead of time, because we all have 24 hours in a day. And so it's how we manage that time, how we move to that time that makes our lives either stressful or easeful. And so from kapha in the morning when we wake up, it's a very grounding time. It's a great time to get exercise because we're solid, we're strongest during that time. That's the time between 6 in the morning and 10 in the morning. And that's a really wonderful time to rise. If we sleep in too late, then we might get kapha'd out where we're like, oh, it's so hard to get going. But when we get up in the early hours, we can get going and really use that time to be effective in our day and to work our physical body. That's why it's such a great time to do our asana practice. In the middle of the day is when our fire's burning brightly. This is the best time to eat our densest meal. So our fats and our proteins and the food that's going to really nutrify us, because our fire is burning and we're creating a lot more bile in our digestive system. And we just get things done. That's when we can get all the tasks taken care of. That's from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. And then in the afternoon, the 2 p.m. to 6 p.m. is what we call vata time. And that's really a time for creative work or maybe deep conversations if you're meeting with people in your life, or taking a little nap is also nice, or doing some creative work. So we start to look at how the energy of the day translates into our own actions. And you might not be doing this at all, but when you start to really look at it and play with it, what I have found with all the people I've worked with through this and myself is you're like, you start to align. All of a sudden you're like, oh, wow, this really works. I'm feeling more energized because I'm in the right energy. That being said, as it comes into the evening, we come back around the clock from 6 p.m. to 10 p.m., is kapha time again, and that's really the time to be now slowing down, because again, it's that hunkering in, settling down, it's a sleep transition. You know, we want to calm our body down, turn off technology, and these are some of the difficult choices to make if that's not happening for you. But that time is really a calming down time. And then when we get to sleep early, when we sleep from 10 p.m., I'm sorry, yeah, from 10 p.m. to 2 a.m., this is a time where our body actually clears out. We can think of it as burning out the day. It's our psyche cleansing and our deep digestion happening. So this is why if we're not feeling right in our body constitution, if we're carrying extra weight, this is a huge benefit to having our body start to burn metabolism more efficiently, is by resting and digesting deeply. And that goes on from, again, 2 a.m. to 6 a.m. This time is resting, and that's when our dream state's really happening, right? Our creative dream. And sometimes getting up, if you get up early before 6, that's a great time for meditation, personal contemplation. The world is quiet. And we actually get to feed that aspect of ourself that is needing that time for just being. So that's our 24-hour clock, and there's a lot more to it, but I wanted to give you that kind of in a nutshell. So how's that feel? Any questions there?
Makes a lot of sense.
Okay, it's really amazing. And what happens now, you've got these philosophies, right? And Teresa, you've got that info. So now what are we going to do with it, right? So let's go to habits, which is really the key. And I'll tell you, because we also, you know, especially when we have this body of knowledge, something we created in the last group was the identity of the imposter syndrome. And the imposter syndrome, I don't know, I've never heard it before, but it just kind of came up in our last group. And I thought that is perfect because we so easily even fool ourselves. Like, we have this body of knowledge. We know what we need to do to be healthy, what we're supposed to eat, when we're supposed to sleep, that we're supposed to drink water, and we exercise every day. And we can actually be thinking about it and not actually doing it and believing that we're doing it. So it's called the imposter syndrome. And I've caught myself like, oh yeah, I practice yoga all the time in my head. You know, like, when did I get on my mat last, right, Teresa? It's the last time I actually, you know, spent time sitting down and breathing. And so these things come around. Or for me, like strength, like, oh yeah, I love meditation and fluid, but my body needs strength. Am I actually strengthening? I have to put a pause on because my battery's running. I'm going to go grab my cord. I'll be right back. So think about your own habits and how you might become an imposter for yourself. Okay. There we go. So this is where Habit Evolution comes in, and this has been just my most intriguing study in the last year and a half, is really understanding human behavior and how we change our habits. And so this is just one little handout. The habits reflect who you are. And the important thing is realizing that habits come naturally. We are creatures of habits. Everything we do is done because, and this right here, the habit has three parts, is done because of a trigger, right? We have a cue or a reminder. So, example, I wake up in the morning, and for me, when I wake up in the morning, the first thing I do when I get out of bed is I make my bed. That's just part of my routine. I get out of bed, I make my bed, and there's other things I do too, but I'll use that one. And I make my bed because then the next thing, when I come back into my room after I've gone out and got my water, all the other little things I do in the morning, I come back and my bed's made and my room feels really calm. It makes me feel good. If I don't do that, if I skip that habit, and I do sometimes, of course, I get out of bed, I don't make the bed, and then I come back in later and my bed's not made, it feels a little stressful. And these are like little teeny things that create ease or stress, right? So the trigger is I wake up, I make my bed, okay? That's my action. And reward is it makes me feel more easeful, okay? We also have other habits in our life that are triggers and routines and rewards that may not actually be serving us over a long period of time, right? So one of them might be I wake up in the morning and the first thing I do is I grab my phone or my computer and I look at my email. So I wake up, I go to my email, and the reward is, I think, oh my gosh, I got so much done. I got all this email. Over a long period of time, however, we might be missing that special magic hour in the morning where we spend time with ourselves. So we want to look at the long-term effect, whether it's a year or 5 years or a lifetime, of what habits are we going through in our day, whether mindfully or unconsciously. And that's what we want to do, is really take the time. I think this is what yoga gives us. We really give ourselves time to step back from being in our life and looking at our life and our flow through a 24-hour cycle and the course of a year. What's serving us and what is no longer serving us? And what happens with this is when we want to change, this is the other aspect I wanted to bring up today, is to change our behavior for the good, we have to start believing new things about ourselves. Because so often I hear people say, oh, I'd love to practice yoga, but I'm not flexible. Oh, I'd really like to meditate, but I can't stop my mind. So those are two limiting thoughts. We practice yoga so we can feel better in our body no matter how much range of motion we have. and we sit and we meditate to learn how to watch our thoughts. It's not going to stop our thoughts, but we learn to let our thoughts go and not be distracted by them. So that's an identity shift, right? So if you'd be like, I'm the kind of person that's willing to do what I can do in this practice of moving my body, or I'm the kind of person that, you know, I feel like meditation's a challenge, but I'm the kind of person that's going to step into that challenge because I know over time the reward is going to be calm mind. And so changing our identity. So I want you both to think about something in your life that might be happening, like you just mentioned earlier, patience or regularity with your practice. What's one, can you zone in, you know, really come, what's the word I want? Focus in on one habit that you see right now that might not be serving you. And there's that reminder. It happens and I do it every time and then that's how I go. Can you think of something right now off the, either of you?
I'm thinking.
Okay.
I'm thinking too. I know what I want to change.
Okay, let's start with that. What do you want to change?
Maybe we can flip-flop that.
Yeah, what do you want to change?
Sleeping in.
Okay, good. Yeah. So sleeping in. So let's look at that. And then, so the alarm, does your alarm go off in the morning and then you keep sleeping?
Yeah, so Monday through Wednesday, I get up at 6. And then, and I work a 10-hour day. So my conversation is, you know, I can't wait until that time that I can sleep in. But okay. I'm not quite sure it's serving me very well because, you know, generally when I wake up with the sunrise, I feel better and I'm more energized.
Okay.
So that belief that I have to have that extra sleep because I work with sick people and I need, you know, I can maybe transform that in a different way and get to bed earlier.
Okay.
And also that I need to be working on the computer late at night to get all my work done. See, these are conversations that I'm having with myself that aren't really serving me well.
Okay, great. So your habit is the alarm goes off and my routine is turn the alarm off, let myself sleep in because the reward is, oh, I get more sleep.
Mm-hmm.
So mm-hmm. This is what this whole habit evolution is about. So where do we start to make the change, right? Mm-hmm. So if you just say, okay, the alarm goes off, I'm going to just get up no matter what because the reward is now I've got my morning hours. However, mm-hmm. I'll also agree with you that if you're not getting enough sleep, we're going to have to look at the other end of the clock, like when do I go to bed, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So you might actually have to begin when you start to say, okay, I have this habit of sleeping in and I want to change that habit. So maybe I can look at the other part of how do I still get enough sleep. So let's go back up and look at the evening. So the evening is I come home, I have dinner, and I go on my computer until late mm-hmm. at night because I have to get this done. So
mm-hmm.
these changes of habits, that's why it's so individualized. How can we shift those routines and still be efficient in what we need to do, but be mm-hmm. very effective in taking care of our own health? Because over a long period of time, that's really priority, right? Because if we don't have our health, then all those other things that we're doing are going to then be sabotaged.
Mm-hmm.
So we would look at shifting that. But that's, so that triggers there. So part of this habit evolution is how can I shift that one identity? This is who I am. This is how it works. And we kind of think it can't work any other way. So we would want to start to work on how can we unpack the routine and the identity you have now and start to find little places, like maybe you just go to bed a little bit earlier. Maybe you find a way to get, like you have to really look at the things that are taking your time into the evening on technology and how can you not sabotage the work you need to get done, but make it more realistic for your level of well-being.
Mm-hmm.
And so that idea for you today would be like, how late are you up? Let's go there. How late are you up when you do that?
Last night I was up until 12, midnight.
Okay, so you get home at 6. What time do you work? What's your hourly?
7 to 6.
7 to 6. Oh, okay. You get home at 6.
But I come home for lunch.
Okay, that's nice.
I let the dog out and I water the plants.
Okay.
And I kind of feel like I need that. It energizes me to get through the rest of the day.
Sure.
And then when I get home at 6, we eat, and then I veg out in front of the TV to kind of calm down for the day.
Okay.
And I'm fortunate because my husband does go to bed at 8:30. Uh-huh. And usually at that time is when I do notes.
When he goes to bed.
Right. And so last night, I was up answering emails, and then about 9:45, I started notes until 11:45.
Okay. So then what we'd have to ask is, are you willing to make a change?
Yeah.
And we'd start there. So you might be like, okay, so if I want to back things up, if I want to go to bed earlier, let's say you go to bed, what's your average bedtime on those days?
8 hours. Average?
How do you go?
Average 8 time is between 9 and 9:30.
Oh, it is?
Yeah.
So once in a while you're staying up late? Is that a once in a while?
Yeah, once in a while.
Okay. Well, yeah. I would say that so. But you still have trouble getting up on the other mornings.
Right.
Okay, so I wouldn't be as concerned now about you getting out of bed earlier.
Yeah.
So that's where you have to start. So then, okay, it's a perfect example. Listen to this. So you really aren't getting enough sleep, but it's that mindset that, I have to get up at 6, so today I'm going to sleep in, even though you feel better when you get up earlier. So right. Now you have to find a new reward.
Yeah.
Okay, so it's like, if I'm not going to sleep in, what's my reward? I'm going to feel better. So you want to set yourself up. Your alarm goes off and you want to know what you're going to, I'm going to get up and I'm going to sit with my cup of tea and watch the sun, or I'm going to go for a walk and enjoy. Like, you have to find out what's that reward. Instead of just getting up, you need to be really clear on what is the reward.
Right.
Okay.
Uh-huh.
And also, what's going to trigger that reward? So if it's, let's just say it's going for a walk. What would feel good to you first thing in the morning? Let's get real.
Yeah, a walk with the dog.
Okay. So what you would want to do is the night before is you have your shoes out. Mm-hmm. You have your clothes out. Mm-hmm. You're ready to go, right? So that when that alarm goes off, you just get up. You know everything's waiting for you. And you don't have to think too much about it.
Mm-hmm.
But easier, in order to make a change, we have to make it easy.
Mm-hmm.
And so whatever that is, like, or maybe you put your alarm in the other room so you actually have to get out of bed.
And then
you're out and you're like, okay, I'm just going to get dressed. And we go through a lot in our, there's a lot of negotiating that will happen between higher mind, lower mind. Lower mind will try and talk us out of it and go back to our old habits. But higher mind's going to be like, no, I'm just going to, here's my shoes right there. I'm going to put them on. Right? So that gives you that little, that support, and then you just go.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Mm-hmm. So why don't you try that this week? Like, does that make sense? Does that help?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Great. And Teresa, what about you? You need to get up.
Well, similar type of thing, and that makes very much sense. Because I know if I think, okay, I'm going to get up, I'm going to go do a workout. And when I do a workout, I go to the club and I, do a little aerobic, a little strength, and then I do my yoga practice there because they have a great space for that. So if I know I'm going to do that, I can get up and do it, if I plan for it. But if I don't, I can, ease out of bed, have my cup of tea. Then I start to read the paper and I'm trying to read more literature that's not just all the newspaper.
Right.
So then it's, a long time goes by, and then I get in a panic about getting to work.
Yes.
So then I get diseaseful, out of, frantic. So, and I really, the thing about getting to work isn't, it's like an illusion in my mind that I have that panic sensation, because I have my own business and I'm starting to move partially out of as much work as I was doing with it. And so it's like a lifestyle change to me, for me. So I'm giving myself permission to have time in the morning, yet at the same time, I still get in a panic by the time I'm going out the door.
Okay. So, and at the end of the day, you're like, oops, there goes another day. I didn't get my practice in.
Yeah. Yeah.
So it kind of becomes this wheel, this hamster wheel. And so it's the same thing. Like, okay, you've got to come up with a new trigger. You have to shift something in your environment, right? It's going to put you onto that next path. And so what is that one thing? Okay, I want to get up. And also not 100%, like, okay, you're not going to, maybe you let yourself sleep in one day a week, Donna.
Yeah.
Maybe like, okay, this is my day to sleep in. And if you only sleep in, sometimes you don't even, you're like, oh, well, I want to get up anyways. But you give yourself that permission. We're not like being strict. That creates tension too. So Teresa, getting up and doing that practice, like your habit, you're like, okay, 3 days a week, and you choose them. You have to get really clear. Okay, these days I'm going to get up and do my practice and go to yoga. Not every day, right? So you make it small incremental steps. That's another part of our habit evolution that I'll talk about later. But you know, you got to make it really doable. 2 or 3 days a week, and then you do that for 3, 4, 5, 10 weeks. And then you might find yourself adding another one, but really make it more so you've got that blend. Like, okay, a few days a week I'm going to sit and have my tea and read, and I'm not going to down. And then the other day I'm going to get up and do that. You really have to block it into your day. Another thing I work a lot with is time blocking, like really writing things down so it's outside of our brain. And we have, that's another visual trigger. Here's my plan, right? And so maybe this week, how many days do you think you would want to commit to make it consistent?
Are you asking me,
yes.
Teresa?
Yes.
3 or 4.
Okay, let's start with 3. Always do the lesser. It's called low-hanging fruit. You want to do what's easiest, okay?
Yeah.
So do 3. If 4 happens, it might happen. But make a commitment to yourself. Okay, 3 days a week. And what are those days? Like, you've got to look at how your week flows. What are the best days, the easiest days for that to happen?
I think, you know, Monday, Wednesday, Friday kind of jumps in my mind because it's easy.
And that feels good. Okay, so you're going to make that commitment. You're going to put that on a piece of paper somewhere that you're going to see it. You're going to have your schedule. Okay. And then the night before, that means on Sunday, Tuesday, and Thursday night, you need to remember that you're going to get up in the morning and do that. So that's where, just like with Donna, you're going to set something up. You're going to have your gym bag ready to go, right? You're going to just have it all set. So all you have to do is get up, drink your water, have whatever you have in the morning, and do your thing. But you got to have that up. And so you're going to need to put some visual reminders out. We need reminders because it's so easy to forget. I think you can agree with that. Like, oh, well, there went that day. Right? So for you, is it a gym bag, or maybe it's someone that goes with you, or you sign up for a class? Is there some sort of responsibility or trigger that you can think of that will really work?
I think just setting it in the intention in my mind, because when I set that intention and I decide I'm going to go, I usually can get up unless I've had a really bad night's sleep. And then I tend to say, I need to get more rest. Okay. So
that's good. And that's another thing to look at is, what is your sleep like? But that's good. So let's look at that. But get something ready. Like, do something physically the night before so that you get that into your body. And when we put things in our, that's like Teresa, like you want to physically do something to set the trigger, because then our body wisdom is speaking louder than our mind. Does that make sense?
Right. Yeah. Yes. And the gym bag for me is probably getting that ready and getting my yoga mat with me.
Yeah, great. I'll put my yoga app mat out right in the living room. So as soon as I walk in the living room, there's my mat waiting for me. Like, oh yeah. I mean, it's right there rolled up, but having it rolled out makes a difference. And so understanding these things, like how our human behavior operates and then how we work with it instead of against it. And this has really, for me, been an opportunity to really help people not only know about yoga and know about Ayurveda practices, but how to actually implement them. And this has been very rewarding to guide people through that. And I really feel like it's been all of the different programs, you know, all the different courses and things that I teach, because it's helping people identify a little bit differently with how they operate so they can be more in line with what your true desires are. Right? So that's how that works. And I will send you an email. So you're going to set out your shoes and stuff and go for a walk, Donna. And Teresa, you're going to get your gym bag ready so you can go Monday, Wednesday, Friday. Those are your action steps today. And then I'd like to just let you know what my course is this is really working. It's kind of this kind of work every week, but we have very specific habits we work through, which actually lead to making that morning time easier. So we even start like, when do we eat? How's our sleep patterns? And we do practices that really help improve sleep patterns according to that Ayurvedic clock. That's why staying up late is not really good for your sleep pattern, because it interrupts your circadian rhythms. And then we look at what we're eating and when we're eating. Like I mentioned, that's easiest to digest in the middle of the day. It's great that you're eating your lunch at home, Donna. That would be your main meal of the day. And then you can have the time to digest. And then you have this long period of time with your not eating, no snacking. We get away from snacking so that we allow our body, to our digestion, to actually operate the way it's meant to operate, which is to burn food efficiently. And then we also look at personal care techniques that are, you know, just really addressing the care of our body, our senses, our mind. So we integrate, how can we integrate meditation in our yoga practice? And then we balance that out. Like, do it. Maybe you meditate on those mornings because you're home, Teresa. Maybe the day you go work out, that's your asana practice, your hatha, your physical strength and mobility. And then on those other days that you're home, instead of picking up the paper, you're going to just sit and do a little meditation first. And just 5-10 minutes can make a huge difference in how we operate, right? So the 10 habits over 10 weeks is really the habits of yoga and Ayurveda, and finding these little steps, and again, looking at habit evolution and how that works. And the, I think one of the biggest benefits of doing something like this, why I'm inviting you into it, is the support. Because we all need support. This is why I love bringing circles of people together, because it strengthens my reserves, and I still have to be reminded if I'm falling away from my desired health care plan, and I know that I've got 10, 20 other people out there that are on the same, have the same intention, it's like, oh yeah, I'm not just doing this for me, I'm doing this for everybody. And that's really my bigger vision, is not just personal evolution, but planetary evolution. So the more we take care of ourselves, the more we're actually inspiring others to do the same. And in habit evolution, it shows that if we want to make a change for ourselves, we'll be 70% more successful when we do it in support with others. And I've seen that because I've worked with some clients for years, and now they've stepped into more of this when they're ready to finally step into a group. And just knowing that they're, I've seen the shifts happen, which is really wonderful. This is why the research shows it, right? So I would like to invite you both into this course that's happening if you're interested. And the way that it works is that we meet once a week like this on Zoom, and we do after a teaching. So a teaching arrives. It's a video or a webinar that goes over a particular habit. And then how that is, we unpack that. There's also additional readings. I have a HubSpot where there's all kinds of different additional information for inspiration and education. and it's up to you how much you go there. But the one teaching is anywhere from 30 to 60 minutes. And then we have a gathering on this, and we discuss and problem solve and celebrate breakthroughs. And we really see how things are unfolding and how we can support each other. And then there's, and of course they're recorded. And then throughout the week, there's information, and we start to set up our timeline and our habits, and everybody makes their own shifts and changes, but there is this overall intention of aligning with the rhythms of nature and integrating yoga and Ayurveda and healthy eating into our life. So that's what the course is, and it's quite fun. I've gone through it now about 4 times with people, and always learning and growing through it. So do you have questions, or what's your interest, or do you want to speak with me one-on-one about this possibility?
What's the cost?
It's $75 a week, and so that's for 10 weeks. Except, however, if you're signing up for the teacher training, there's a discounted rate for those that are in teacher training, because it really actually is a wonderful prerequisite. So then it's $45 a week. And that could
with
be payments. And what I found is, you know, the investment has been incredible, and people have just gotten so much from it. And so there's, those are those two options, and why I want my trainees to really step into this, because I created it as a step one before teacher training, which is bigger and requires more time every week if you're really going to take advantage of the material offered, which is reading and writing and practicing and sharing. And so by the time that comes around, you actually have a more balanced schedule, or a more balanced attitude, I think, towards your schedule most of all. Because there's still going to be those nights you're up late, or there's still going to be those mornings you sleep in, or there might be those days where, oh, I missed the gym. But we become less judgmental of ourselves, and we get back on track. So in yoga, it's called samskara, which means our habits. And we want to create those samskaras that are serving us, and we want to know we have those. So when we get off track, we actually have a track to get back on. Because some people don't even have a track. It's like all over the place.
So that's what
I feel like, oh, right, okay, I got off track today. Okay, well, I'm going to get back on track. Because my body, it's not in here anymore in my head. It's actually a visceral sensation of desire, like, I want to get back on track, because it feels so right. And then we don't have to, you know, have so much conflict in the mind.
So let me just go through it again. So is it a 10-week course?
Yes, 10 weeks.
Oh.
And it starts this week. Starts tomorrow, actually, the first lesson. But the timeline is really flexible, because you get your lesson on Friday, so then you have 3 or 4 days to watch it, because we meet on Tuesdays. So the lesson comes Friday, the main lesson, and other things are there, of course, so you can look. And there's also worksheets, so that you're doing some work to get it out of your head and really get clear what you're working with. And then how much you do on that is you know, up to you as well. Some people did lots of worksheets, and I don't give too many. But, and some people just watch the lesson and integrate it, and then calls. And then the calls are on Tuesday. So those are your two main ones, is lesson comes Friday, call on Tuesday, and then we just go through the weeks that way. And then the information, and you get emails in between. You also get one on Monday and Wednesday. So they remind you, and they send you some more information. And then you also, we have 3 individual coaching sessions, one-on-one, throughout the 10 weeks. So we can do laser coaching, what we call laser coaching. So we can talk about your own individual needs and intentions.
What times on Friday and Tuesday?
Friday just comes to your inbox. It's sent by an email. And then on Tuesday, right now, our plan is to meet at 6:30 on Tuesday evenings. And when the group comes together, there's about a dozen so far. When our group comes together, we'll make sure that that's the right time. because mm-hmm. it's summer. And that's what we did in the spring. I'm open, but so far it seems okay. But if we want to shift it all, I'll find out as the group comes together.
Okay.
And then your...
Go ahead.
Go ahead, Teresa.
Your teacher training things are start like in September and go through like April, something like that.
Actually through May, the teacher training is, and actually Donna's interested in that too, you both are. The teacher training runs the end of September through the middle of May, and it's 9 weekends, Friday evening to through Sunday, 20 hours of classroom time. And then you have home study in between, so you go home with an outline of what to study and practice and implement. So you have reading and writing, and so you put in your words, and you have practice, of course. And so that's really guided. And you also have a mentor that you meet with each month. You're given a mentor for the whole time, so you've got someone else to support you through the process. It's been through it. These are all people that have gone through the training. And we also have a Facebook forum with both of these programs. So the Facebook forums are a place to go in and ask questions and share results and offer some other information that you may have found. A lot of people shared some really inspirational material that they found along the way. So we do that for both. They're private, and you can also just go on a private Facebook forum software, so you don't have to be on Facebook because some people just don't want to be on it. But you can go just to the group. So we share that way. And that's how that training works. And that's in Bozeman and getting quite full.
Good.
Other questions? Would either want me to connect with you one-on-one after this call, since this is a group call?
I think I'm good. And I think the connection to the registration for Shake Your Booty, I think you emailed me that info.
I did email all of that. Yes, I did.
So I think I'm good.
All right, ladies, we are wrapping that up for today. Thank you so much for being here. Jill White, are you here?
Thank you so much for offering.
All right, Teresa, you're welcome. I'll be in touch. I'll send you some goodies. Donna, I'll hear from you today, right?
Yep.
I'll get you started tomorrow. I look forward to it.
Thank you.
All right. Namaste.
Signing out.
Signing out.
Signing out.
Namaste.
Namaste.
Namaste.